The DNC has come to an end, as we all know. It's been a couple days now. It was quite the interesting lineup of events that they had. Although I will say I didn't watch all of it or everything. The little bit I did check out was quite interesting. And I wanted to spend the time today to just make some comment on one particular event that went down at the DNC. And that was the acceptance speech by Mr. Tim Walz on Wednesday. So let's get on down to it. Please sit back, don't go away. We start now. Hey, everybody, and welcome here to the next episode of the Richard Leonard Show. I'd like to thank you, as always, for being here. It is always, as usual, humbling to watch the numbers of the show grow, watch the interaction of the show grow. We really do appreciate everyone here at the studio. We really thank you for being back. Before we get started, let me tell you, of course, about how the show is made possible. And that is by Mr. Carlos Cortez Jr. and his staff over at Cortez Wealth Management. Get on over to AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Check out what they got going on. They host a webinar every Tuesday and Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let Carlos talk to you and give you all the information about how to plan and execute a tax-free retirement plan. When you reach the end of your days and you want to be done with work, you deserve to be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor at ease with as little tax liability as possible. It sounds like a great plan to me as well. So check out their webinar Tuesday, Thursday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. When you gather that information, let them know if you have any questions, any comments, any concerns for sure. And let them help you guide yourself through said issues. Okay, AmericaFirstRetirementPlan.com. Carlos Cortez and his staff are awaiting your call. Let's get down to it. So, last Wednesday was the evening that our good old illustrious governor of Minnesota, old Shifty Timmy Walz, gave his acceptance speech for nomination of the vice presidency of the United States of America. And before we get into it, I want to just say this. I had read somewhere that, and we've all heard this story about how Kamala Harris is an absolute bear to work for. She is not kind to her staff. In fact, I had read somewhere that if you haven't been with her for a certain period of time, you're not even allowed to talk to her. And so you're already starting off on a weird foot. It's funny that we're talking about Tim Walz and the word weird came up. And so I wonder, because this pick of Tim Walz was kind of confusing to me. Like, where did he come from? What has he done with his time in government as an elected official that has really been worth being the vice president of the United States? And they went over and over all these accolades of his, of great things he did here for the state of Minnesota. Some of those things are things like ensuring that every child has free breakfast and free lunch. And so what I will do is I will hand it to old Shifty Timmy. That's a good one. I agree 1,000% that children cannot learn to the best of their ability if they're hungry, if they're worried about where their next meal is coming from. So I'll give him props. I am the type of person that will give you your props when and where they're due. But other than that, I'm not quite sure that there's too many other things that old Tim can really hang his hat on that are of any substance. And so I watched his speech a couple of times, and one of the things that I noticed was how thick he laid on the northern accent, the Minnesota accent. I don't believe that he really talks like that all the time, but that's neither here nor there. It's not really even that big of a deal. Just makes him look silly. But I picked out a few things, like this, for example. During his speech, he had said this: "We're all here for one simple reason, because we love this country." Okay, well, duh. Isn't that why anybody is at any political rally? In theory? Isn't it in theory that anybody who engages in these political events and of course runs for any kind of office, you would think that they do it for love of country? Like, that's one of the biggest reasons that anybody would do that. So I'm not quite sure why we have to point that out. And if we love this country so much, Tim, why did we not hear anything from you about the issues in this country that are dragging it down into the depths? We didn't really hear anything at all about the infiltration or the infestation of this country at its borders. Why would we leave that out of the conversation? And to be clear, with full clarity, let's just say for conversation's sake, I was a far left liberal person, and J.D. Vance and Donald Trump didn't talk about immigration at all, I'd be asking the same question. Why are we not talking about that? You stand on this stage and you talk about how this country is supposed to be so prosperous and it's supposed to be this superpower. And with all of its faults and everything good, whatever good is left that comes out of this place, we're not going to talk about the infestation of this country by people who are here illegally. Just by being here is committing a crime. Not to mention what they take away from Americans. And now, I am the type of person that would certainly lend a hand to somebody who needs it, but I'm certainly not going to go broke doing it. If I can't afford to help you, and I have to choose between helping you and feeding my family, or helping you or making sure that I have fuel in my vehicle to get to work so that I can make money to feed my, whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you, those things that will reflect on how I take care of my obligations, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get anything extra from me if I don't have it. And so I guess I have a hard time understanding why this stuff isn't talked about. But instead of hearing about our borders and how we're being infiltrated and how these individuals who are walking across our borders, taking refuge, setting up camp, and committing crimes all over the place. And in many instances, violent crimes and the heinous crimes. How many young girls in this country do we have to hear about being kidnapped or taken, gang raped, and then killed or left for dead? to live out the rest of their days, if they make it through, as a permanent, with a permanent scar. To always be looking over their shoulder. Why don't we talk about that? Instead, we hear about this. We hear about small towns in Nebraska. And about how Tim Walz, growing up in a small town in Nebraska, learned at a very young age how to take care of his neighbors. How to help the person next to you. Well, isn't that something that we as a country have already subscribed to? Does it really matter what side of the aisle you sit on? Before you understand that it's important to take care of your neighbors, to be a person in your community that is helpful, that contributes, to help build the place around you? Is this really making good time of your time up on the stage in front of a whole nation while you're asking for their vote? If the families of these young girls who have been kidnapped, raped, and beaten and left for dead, and in some instances murdered, were sitting in that arena, and they have to listen to this hunyuck talk about small towns in Nebraska and about how to take care of their neighbors, but hear nothing about how we're going to take care of this problem, this immigration problem. Do we think that they're going to have anything to say about that? Do we think that they're going to think anything other than fuck you about that narrative, those words? I think so. And the other part to that was interesting to me is that as he was talking and getting further along in his speech, they were panning through the audience. And all these people were like drenched with tears. They were all crying. All the guy said is that we need to take care of our neighbors. Isn't that the golden rule? Treat others as you would like to be treated? Do we really need our presidential and vice presidential candidate to tell us that we need to be nice to each other? We know that. Clearly, there's a lot of people that don't give a shit about the golden rule. So who are we talking to here? I mean, there's so many different directions we can go with this. Just pick out any of the things that negatively impacted your community. If you live in Minnesota and you're watching this show, any of the things that Tim Walz had his hands into that negatively affected your community, there's a lot of them. And I'm also not trying to sit here and say that with his time in office, he's never done anything well. He's never done anything good for anybody. But I certainly don't think that he's done anything exceptional that would make somebody go, oh yeah, that makes sense. It's a good pick for vice president. I think a lot of people were kind of kerfuffled about it. And so when we hear all these things about Kamala Harris and how much of a bear she is to work with or for, it makes me wonder how far down on that list Tim Walz really was. And how many people said, hell no. Nope. Not doing that. And I wonder how many people on that list, if any of them said no, did it number one because she's a pain in the ass to work with, but number two, how many of them think that they can actually beat Donald Trump and J.D. Vance? And maybe they can. I don't know. I guess I don't have a really strong opinion on either one about their chances of winning. And in some cases, I'm not sure that it matters. I'm not sure that we can trust a whole lot of any of it. But in my opinion, for whatever it's worth, the less of the two evils, the lesser of the two evils, it would be Donald Trump, I think. Let's move on. So Tim Walz, of course, goes through his speech. He's talking about coaching football and winning state titles, which he did win in Mankato. But then he got to this topic of infertility. And he went on to say infertility treatments and how hard it is when they don't work. Apparently his daughter was the product of infertility drugs or treatment or however that goes. I guess I'm not really sure. Which is great. I'm glad that it worked out for them. I believe that anybody that can't have kids and wants kids should be able to have them. Maybe I should back up. I do believe that there should probably be a licensing requirement to be a parent and have kids. But if you are a person that can raise children to be respectful, contributing members of this society, and for whatever reason, the powers that be took away your ability to have kids, and there's still a chance, then you should be able to have kids. He talked about how hard it is to go through those phone calls from the clinics just to hear that the latest treatment didn't work. It didn't take. And, okay, yeah, I'm sure it's frustrating. But how hard is it to get a phone call or see on the news, or pull up to your business, your home maybe, and see that you've lost it? Everything you've ever worked for. Many small business owners have their whole lives wrapped up in this business, whichever business it is that they own. It's their life's work. Generations, in many instances, have lived and thrived on these businesses. And they get passed down from generation to generation to generation. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Supporting small business, especially small family-owned businesses who have been in business for 40, 50, 60, 70 years or more, is a pretty cool thing, in my opinion. But how did it feel for those people? How did it feel for the people that owned businesses on Lake Street in Minneapolis? When all of their shit was burning, and all the merchandise that they have put their neck out to have in their place of business, in their stores, is all out on their name, their credit, their business. Many times, the merchandise in these small businesses is what is going to feed these people's families. It's going to send their kids to college. It's going to pay their medical bills. It's going to do a lot of things. It's going to keep generations of families afloat. But now it's all gone. How hard is that reality, Tim? Why didn't we hear about that? I think we all know why we didn't hear about that. But I think that it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people who lived through all this. And maybe in the grand scheme of things, the business owners and the residents of Minneapolis and anywhere else in Minnesota that was affected is a small percentage. Maybe it's a small percentage of the people that he's talking to, and maybe, quite frankly, he just doesn't give a shit. But the hope is that the people that he's trying to reach hear the other side of the story as well. And to be fair, I think we should hear the other side of the story from all the candidates. I think they should all be called to the table. And they should all be asked the tough questions, the hard questions. Talk to them about their failures in their careers. Is it acceptable to have regrets after a long career in any profession? Yeah, you have regrets. You're going to make mistakes. Shit happens. But I believe that, unfortunately, when you are a person who is responsible for a whole state as a governor, or you're a member of the Congress or the Senate, and you're representing a state, you have the responsibility of not having the luxury of being able to say, well, you know, that one's on me. It's on me, guys. I messed that one up. Especially when it seems to be something that was and could have been extremely unavoidable or less severe. But you see, again, I mean, we don't have to beat the dead horse, but I guess we can. I guess it's possible. All he had to do was give the order to defend the third precinct in Minneapolis. I believe that that night, that event, was the final match on an already smoldering fire that ignited this country. We saw widespread crime. There was riots everywhere. The death of George Floyd, of course, was the big issue. But I think when troublemakers and people across this country witnessed the fact that, well, we can retaliate. We could take the fight to the police, and they're not going to do anything. That set the tone for the rest of the country. And I believe, we believe, many people believe, that that particular lapse in judgment or failure that rests solely on the shoulders of Tim Walz. But we're not going to hear about that in his speech, of course. Why would he go up on a stage and tell everybody that he's a shithead? He had too much pride to accept help from Donald Trump when Donald Trump offered him military resources to fight the crowds back. He'll never admit to it. But he'll stand on a stage in front of this whole country and talk about how important it is to take care of their neighbors. And then he went on to say something about how good leaders, good leadership is built on a base of honesty and integrity. And good leaders are the ones that go out there and do the work. They do the work. Where were you that night, Tim? Was it your day off? Where was your leadership doing the work that night? Doing the work when police were getting injured, when citizens were getting injured and their whole lives were up in flames. Where were you? You weren't doing the work. As the story goes, you were sitting in some office somewhere, having discussions with God knows who, denying offers for help, and then ultimately telling the cops, get out of there. You guys got to get out of there. Is that doing the work? Is that leading from the front? You stood on the stage and you talked about how long you served in the military and how long you wore this nation's uniform proudly. And then you got into a position where you're the commander-in-chief of the state of Minnesota. And you didn't do shit when the place started on fire. But you got kids free school lunch. You made infertility treatments available. That's great. But how much of that matters when the infiltration of our country is dangerous? Is dangerous to the people that you're trying to give infertility drugs to? I'm not saying that these things aren't. They're not topics that need to be covered. They're not issues that need to be addressed by elected officials in government. Because maybe they are. But if we were to make a list of priority and priority items and things that are more important than others, I would imagine that infertility treatments are on the lower half of the list. I'd certainly put school lunches for kids higher than infertility treatments. And so some maybe will say, well, why don't you tell that to a family that can't have children? Okay, I'll tell them that. Because at the end of the day, it's not really about the idea that we need more procreation. Yeah, well, we can have more procreation, we can make more children, and we can build our families, and we can have another generation to take on these small businesses and keep them running strong for our communities that and help out. Be that neighbor, Tim, that you were talking about. But we can't do that, it seems, when we're worried about whether or not our kids can go to the park and play. Or our kids can even be in the driveway throwing a football with each other without the possibility of some creep walking up and snatching them into a car or offering them some kind of shiny thing to get their attention. Is it happening around everywhere in Minnesota? Probably not. Does it happen? Absolutely. And so I don't know that we need to make light of anybody's situation, but I do think that we need to address, we can only do so much. Our elected officials have proven that they can only handle so many things at one given time. So why would we not focus solely on the things that are most dangerous to us and our communities? That's what I have a hard time understanding. But leaders go out and they do the work, Tim. Chew on that, folks. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Hey, folks, while we take a break, let me talk to you about something very quickly. We need your help. It seems as though now that we have found on our journey for seeking the truth about any topics that affect us as Americans in our communities, these topics get controversial. They get hard to hear, and they get hard to talk about for people. And they kind of hit you right to the core. They're not necessarily pleasant things to hear about. And because of that, some of our sponsors have chosen to jump ship for whatever reason. They've chosen to go a different direction. The point of all this is that keeping this network afloat takes a lot of resources. All the shows that you have access to, all the documentaries such as Died Suddenly, Occupied, which is coming very soon, all of that takes a lot of resources to produce, make it look right, make it sound right, and put it out to you. It has always been free for 4 years. And now that we have found some truth that some folks really don't like to hear or talk about, as I've said, sponsorships are going another direction. So here's what we're asking for. We're asking you, if you can, to join the premium Stu Peters Network Rumble channel, the Stu Crew, for $9 a month. $9 a month gets you access to extra content. There is giveaways planned. I believe there's some giveaways that were just announced. You would have to go at this point. I will learn more. But at this point, you would have to go to StuPeters.com or tune into the Stu Peters Show. It happens Monday through Friday. And all the details for the current giveaways are there. Something about a first class ticket for a person and three of their friends to come to the new studio and be involved in filming some shows and just being part of the chaos, if you will, for a day or two. It's $9 a month. So if you're watching this, down in the left-hand corner, you're going to see a button here that says Stu Crew. Click on that button. You can sign up and register with a $9 a month donation. You can also do a one-time annual donation of $90, in which you'll get 2 months for free. So that's a good deal. We'll get you 2 months for free there. There's also an option to do a one-time donation. This one-time donation is set up for folks who are on the fence about whether or not to subscribe, but they do like the content they see and they want to help out. Anything and everything helps. So if you are that type of person that maybe can't do $9 a month or $90 a year, but you can do $20 here and $10 there, we'll take it, we accept it, and we thank you very much. This is also a place for folks who maybe have, who are small business owners or big business owners and want to make large nominal donations. You can use that part of the Stu Crew button as well. Either way, sign up. $90 a year, $9 a month, or a one-time donation of whatever it is that you feel comfortable donating. It's important, though, to remember that we don't want anybody to put themselves out or go backwards by donating to the cause here at the network. But if you can, again, the red button there, the Stu Crew at the bottom left of the screen that you are watching right now, we'd really appreciate your help. We thank you for your continued patronage, just by watching, spreading the word, sharing our videos with your friends and family and coworkers, whoever you think can hear it and use the information to just help further the narrative. So with that being said, we look forward to bringing you a lot more amazing content. So let's get back to the show. We'll see you there. Hey guys, welcome back here. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how old Shifty Timmy was talking about how leaders do the work. Well, let's not abandon this. Let's not abandon this gem yet. Tim Walz has the balls to stand on a podium in front of the country and give us some seemingly inspirational words about how leaders do the work. We don't just talk about it. They do it. Well, just in case you've forgotten, this is the guy that abandoned a whole battalion of U.S. Army soldiers. This is a guy who was told that he was going to have to lead his unit into battle. And instead of taking that responsibility that he signed up for and he committed to, he said, I think I'm gonna just bounce. I don't want to do that. I don't want to play Army anymore. And I think as many people have said out in the open space in the mainstream media and everywhere else, I don't think anybody criticizes Tim Walz for dedicating 20-something years to the United States Army. Thank you for your service. Honestly, I mean it. Thank you for your service, Tim Walz. But when it was time to really nut up, put your balls on the table, Tim. Even if you were nervous, if you were scared, if you were apprehensive, whatever emotional response you had, it was time to own up to that commitment you made to all those soldiers. I'm quite certain that in your change of command ceremony, you gave some bullshit speech about how you'll faithfully lead your soldiers and you'll never turn your back on them, and you'll have some open door policy, and we're going to work hard, but we're going to play hard, and we just gotta do the work and everything will be okay. Do the work. Well, when it was time for you, Tim, to do the work, you chose to leave. You chose to turn your back on the men and women who put their trust in you to lead them. Lead them into hell. If that's where they were told that they had to go. And I would be really interested to find out, honestly, why he chose to do that. Was he scared? I think a lot of people do get scared. It's an interesting range of emotions that one goes through when you hear that you're going to war. And back at that time during the war, it was pretty gnarly. There's a lot of pretty intense shit happening. Soldiers were getting hurt daily. Soldiers were dying often. So I guess if somebody said that they were scared, okay. I think we were all apprehensive. We were all nervous. But just for a little clarity, there are many soldiers, especially young soldiers who have been in for maybe 6 years or less, maybe even 10 years or less, who haven't had the opportunity to deploy to a forward area and experience what deployment is like, who have gotten out of the military because they did not get an opportunity to deploy. They wanted to, just wasn't in the cards. And so those people, you tell them, thank you for your service. Hopefully they have a good reenlistment code in case they desire to come back in and keep serving and finish out their time. That's always an option for many folks. But why would a guy who has already spent all this time, this could have been the culmination of his career, take your soldiers into battle, lead them well, bring them all home, and then retire, and hang your hat on a successful mission accomplished? Instead, no. Hey, is that my soccer ball over there? Can I have my soccer ball? I'm going to go home. That's what he did. And I just don't understand how anybody who has the ability to think critically at all doesn't have any questions about this aspect of his career, let alone many other things. Why did he claim to have a rank that he didn't achieve? Why did he claim to be a combat veteran when he never went to combat? Why did he claim to carry these assault weapons into combat when he was never there? Where was he when Minneapolis was burning? Why did he give the order to turn tail and run like big, massive sissies? Why did he give the message to this whole country that it's okay? Fight the police. Fight them. They're not going to do anything. In the few instances around this country when the police have had enough and they just couldn't take any more, and they fought back, their lives also were ruined. And it seems like many people do not want to acknowledge the fact that he was responsible for that. If he wasn't, then who was? Are we going to blame the downfall of this country as we see it today on Derek Chauvin? A police officer patrolling the streets, answering a call for service, dealing with an unruly drug addict thug who holds knives to pregnant women while his friends rob them? The guy that people all over this country are building monuments to and naming football fields and streets after a career criminal? But of course the country doesn't know that, because in the trial of the said police officer, the judge in all of his wisdom allowed no information about George Floyd at all to be allowed to be spoken about. And maybe that's a whole nother show because we're going to run out of time soon. But the man was a career criminal. And because of that whole day, it led into riots. It led into the destruction of property. It led into people getting hurt and killed. Folks losing everything. We already discussed all this. But real leaders are out doing the work. So in the rest of his speech, he goes on to talk about his good friend Kamala Harris and thanked her over and over again for allowing him to be part of this campaign, to be part of this process. Thanked her. I said thanked him. Thanked her for allowing him to possibly be the Vice President of the United States of America. The guy who, in my opinion, is responsible for billions and billions of dollars of damage, the destruction of lives and businesses, all because he had too much pride to accept the help to defend the police. So he goes on to talk about Kamala and says this: she's taken every step possible to improve the lives of Americas, of Americans, with energy, passion, and joy. She has taken every step to do that. Really? Wasn't she responsible for the border? Isn't Kamala Harris still the Vice President of the United States of America? Why is she not addressing any of these things now? And where the hell is Joe Biden? What is Joe Biden doing? Where has he been other than mumbling at the podium earlier this week? Where's he been? They say he's working diligently to construct a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Gaza or the Palestinians or some dumb shit. Huh? I don't know about that. But this woman holds the second most powerful seat in American government. And she's not talking about any of this. She may bring up some of these topics at rallies, but what kind of action is being taken? 70-something days, I think it is, until the election, and we still have thousands of people migrating across the border. Tim Walz ended his speech by giving a football coach-like pep talk. He said, "You may not believe this, but I'm not used to giving speeches like this. But I am used to giving pep talks," he said. And he went through his old little spiel. 1 inch at a time, 1 yard, 1 door knock, 1 phone call, 1 $5 donation at a time. They're gonna get it done. And he said, quote, "There will be time to sleep when you're dead. We're going to leave it all out on the field." Well, Tim Walz, history has shown one thing. History has shown that either you don't have a whole lot to leave on the field, or you don't give a shit about any of it. Because when all of these things happen that we just discussed, you weren't there fighting. You weren't there working diligently. And if you were, where were you? What did you leave? What did you leave on the field? How long did you watch? How long did you watch the destruction of your state before you decided to leave it all on the field? Maybe it was a little while. Maybe, Tim Walz, maybe you're just not a starting varsity kind of guy. Maybe you're a JV kind of guy. Maybe you didn't get in the game. Maybe you didn't get in the game till the end of the third quarter. When the damage has been done, when the score was run up, when it was time to put the scrubs on the field. Maybe that's where you were, Tim. Because you sure as hell weren't there advocating or fighting for the police. You sure weren't there advocating or fighting for small business owners. And you sure weren't there advocating or fighting for the neighborhoods that were burning, that were up in flames. You sure weren't doing that. But it's okay. Because as usual, America will persevere. I hope. The problem with all that is that if you get in a seat like the vice presidency, you may just screw up the whole season. I don't know why we would let a JV player start in the varsity game when there's a whole lot at stake. Maybe, Tim Walz, even though you won a state title, maybe you're the type of coach that believes in participation trophies. Maybe you're the kind of coach that believes that everybody deserves to have equal playing time, no matter what their ability. Maybe you believe, and you don't necessarily have to fight for it, you just gotta wear the pads and the helmet, show up on time for practice, which is important. But I believe, Tim, I believe that you're just a JV player who got lucky. Who got lucky because you have a cancer, a person who has a cancer in the locker room as the captain in Kamala Harris. And everybody else who is a top-tier player seemingly didn't want to play for the cancer in the locker room, like Kamala Harris. So now here we have the cancer and the JV second stringer. It's a scary combination. Very scary combination to have potentially take up the Oval Office in this country. We've run out of time, folks. I want to thank you for being here. I hope that these conversations make it out far and wide. I believe that the country needs to know who this guy really is. I don't know what about him had people sobbing while he spoke. But I'm sure that there were a lot of people in a lot of living rooms or wherever you saw this content, this speech. I'm sure there's a lot of people going, what the F are you talking about? It's an interesting dynamic. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves and have a good weekend. Enjoy the rest of your night. Bye-bye.
We have a big problem, and this is going to continue ongoing. This is an outrage to America. You talked about law. This is a travesty to law. There is no law because the information and money are completely controlled by a small group of people. And if you say their name, you're called an anti-Semite. You're
called an anti-Semite.
Don't raise your voice. Go.
Go.
Go. Go.
Go.
Go.
Go.
I just don't understand how you have a country where your politicians have more allegiance to a foreign nation than they do their own. I honestly think that we have literal treason going on right now where Israel's interests are being put before America's interests.
Is America a sovereign nation or are we being controlled by Israel?
People are always talking about they are out of control, they are killing us. We have to identify who the real enemy is.
The satanic Jews. They control everything and mostly everybody.
What difference does it make if it's a baby or if it's an adult? It's the same thing.
There's one little nation state of Israel that everybody's afraid to talk about. It'll get you nuked off the internet. It'll scare advertisers away from doing business with you if you talk about Zionist infiltration.
Are you a Zionist?
Yes, yes.
You have to get rid of AIPAC. You have to get rid of, the Israeli control over our country. I mean, there's just because they clearly don't give a shit about it.
Are you part of the Jewish conspiracy? What exactly is the...
Maybe. I'm Jewish.
Those are the words that he told us that he would never use again.